Ready?
Our evening began in Peter Seychelles' comfortable study in his New York townhouse.
No sleep till
Brooklyn! Yeah! Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens, it's that end. From the Battery to the top of Manhattan.
Yo, rope!
The brouhaha is back, ladies and gentlemen. You can't keep a good podcast down. My name is Jim Shear, and joining me today, and can I say your whole name?
You can.
First and last, welcome to the brouhaha, Raya Backer.
Woo! Here I am, on stage and at the spa.
Yeah! Now this, not a year in the making, you said 50 weeks in the making.
About that.
So let me break it down for everyone, because some people are listening right now and they're like, well, Raya Backer, is she a producer? Did she do this? Is she part of the Milarepa Fund? No, here's the deal. We are both under the MTV Network's parasol. I won't say umbrella, I'll say parasol because it's very hot outside. Yeah. We were both at Lollapalooza 2012. I saw someone that I used to work with who defected over to MTV News, and he said, oh, I work with someone named Raya, and they're a big Beastie Boys fan. So that always happens to me. And usually, you know, when I meet a big Beastie Boys fan, they're like, oh yeah, like Licensed Ill was the bomb. And then it goes no further than that. But we started talking, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is like some master's level dialogue that's going on right now. And the conversation just got thicker and thicker, to the point where I said, listen, you need to shut up and just come on the brouhaha. And we finally made that happen today. Amen.
And for that, I am grateful.
And then one more quick story before we start talking to you. We were both at the Hangout Festival in Gulf Shores, Mississippi earlier this year.
Alabama.
Oh, yeah, Gulf Shores, Alabama. You're right. And we were in, you know, the big 15-passenger van. And the people in that van probably thought we were the biggest nerds alive.
I think they jumped out of that van by the time we got to sight.
Because you said, hey, Jim, I knew you were going to be on the shoot. I'm wearing a special Beastie Boys shirt. And I said, don't tell me what shirt you're wearing. Just give me some clues. And then we went back and forth with some clues. And not only could I name your shirt, I named the tour that the shirt came from. And I also named the artist who drew it. And everyone else in the van rolled their eyes.
It was sensational.
And if
really,
and if anyone wants to know, you were wearing the Mike Mills robot shirt from the In the Round tour in 1998.
I was, and I believe my clue was, you know, not to shout out MTV again, was that MTV shot the In the Round tour that year from Glastonbury, I believe.
From Scotland.
Oh, it was Glasgow.
Glasgow.
God. But, between Mississippi and that, right. Geography is...
Now we're even.
Yeah. The geography is not for the Viacom staffer, clearly. But it was from Glasgow, and that's my favorite version of Shake Your Rump. I feel confident saying that.
And I say maybe one of my favorite versions of Root Down.
Ooh. I remember, I think Mixmaster Mike gets a little weird.
Drops in some Jungle Brothers near the end of that. And Ad-Rock just goes crazy.
Oh my gosh. I get a little emotional when I think about Beastie Boys live performances. And I don't want to start like this, but literally because I know that, oh my God, this is such a bad way to start. I'm being a bit of a producer right now, but you can never see that again. You just can never.
I know. I know.
And I think that we're very lucky.
Yeah. Oh. And the thing is, I always cherished a Beastie Boys performance. Mm-hmm. Every time I saw them, and go back to 2004, go back to the 90s, I said, I am watching the Beastie Boys right now. I am watching my favorite band in the planet. I don't know when this will happen again. And I didn't say that because I thought any of the Beastie Boys would pass away, but I said that because the Beastie Boys would take these huge breaks. I'm like, I might not see them again for another 8 years.
I remember feeling that way during the pageant tour. I mean, and it ended up being the last time I saw them, but, you know, I don't think I thought that there was going to be more music, even.
Really?
You know, after that. Or I knew that there was going to be more music, but not unlike what you said, that, you know, the gaps only got bigger between albums.
I'm going to disagree with you there, because I think that they realized how long the gaps were, and after To the Five Boroughs, there weren't that many gaps. Because the mix-up came out, and then right after the mix-up, they're going to put Hot Sauce Committee out. They were touring the whole time. Remember, before MCA got sick, they had that whole summer of touring plan. They were going to play out in Cali.
Wait. I just lied to you. I'm sorry to both you and the listeners. I saw them during the gala event tours as well.
Okay.
So, you know what? But the mix-up wasn't... The mix-up was not, you know, hip-hop or was instrumental.
Yeah.
So I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah. But I know a lot of fans, you know, share your sentiment. They're like, oh, no, come on, guys. You're getting older. You need to put out the outline. We need music. We're running out of time. So right now, I want to go back to the beginning. Because I am approaching my 40s. I was a kid in the heyday of Generation X. You're maybe like 10 or 12 years younger than me.
I'm going to touch 30 in a couple of years.
Oh, my God. And there's another thing that blew my mind, because you were dropping all these references. I was like, how do you know? You were just a kid.
Listen.
So take us back. Take us back to the beginning.
With my fanmanship.
Yes.
I remember I grew up an only child in Manhattan, which sounds really weird, as you know, that's what it was though. And I mainly watched Public Access and MTV, and that was, by the way, if there are any Manhattan dwellers listening to this, do not sleep on Manhattan Neighborhood Network. It is still the best. And I remember watching the So What You Want video, and I was very young, but I felt a bit captivated.
Yes.
Towards them. If nothing else, here was someone wearing a Knicks hat. Knicks t-shirt.
Sorry. And, you know, I got to keep you on your toes, because later on you're going to play 20 questions.
No, I know. And you know what? I'm messing up so much. This is what happens when you have days off. but it wasn't just that. As I was saying Knicks, and then I thought of the beanie, and then like it all
amalgamated. I'm just keeping you on your toes.
There was a Knicks t-shirt, and like everyone loves the Knicks, and I was just like, this is it. That I think was my initial kind of spark, and I remember making my father go out and finding me any sort of like Knicks regalia that I could sport. I don't think it was just because I loved that basketball team, but
right.
also because I was like, there are three dudes who are really cool who also like them.
Now, sadly, Raya, around this time, the Knicks changed from that logo into what the Beastie Boys call the New York Knicks Harley Davidson logo. So it was tough to get your hands on that old school Knicks logo.
No, I actually remember. This is going to shout out to my Judaism. We were at the Concord in the Catskills, and I saw the very hat with the same Knicks logo, and I'm pretty sure it's still in my childhood bedroom. If it's not in my childhood bedroom, it was not because I elected to throw it away. I'll put it that way. So I think that there was that, and then, you know, I don't know how much of an active music listener you can be when, like, you're just approaching literacy, but then I think I became a much, much bigger fan come Ill Communication, I was still in grade school.
So right now I want to go back to So What You Want. That's why I felt a connection with you, because that is when... That wasn't when I was introduced to the Beastie Boys, but that's when I fell in love with them. Because I remember coming home from high school, turning on MTV, and I saw this video and I'm like, this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
This is the band that I love. And I wonder if I was watching the same time that you were watching. I was 17. You would have probably been like 8 or 9 years old.
I could have been around that. I feel like I might have been a bit younger, truth be told. But, you know, those years are all a blur. But, yeah, it could have been about that same age. Maybe first grade or something. I feel like I ought to have a better memory of when my first Beastie Boys was. But
And you were allowed to watch MTV when you were younger. I was not.
Why?
Well, my parents were very religious, so I wasn't allowed to listen to pop radio or watch MTV. But we slowly broke them down, and by the time we got to high school, then it was free reign.
I was going to say, I feel like that's a podcast in and of itself, but that's actually really interesting. No, I had my own bedroom with a really cool Sony, I believe it was called the Trinitron TV or something. It was gigantic. And, yes, and it was all mine.
Oh,
and
man.
Usually, if not always, programmed to MTV, which was also, if I can say, a very exciting thing when I worked at News for all my years because, you know.
Yeah.
It was a nice little full circle moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of times when, I mean, I still work under the MTV parasol, but, you know, I'll run into people and I'll say, I watched your show when I was a teenager. And it's like, oh, really?
Oh,
you
God.
Know? I'm like, oh, yeah, I know about that. So it's a very, very cool time. You know, what was very cool to get into MTV and, you know, get to meet Kurt Loder, who interviewed the Beastie Boys on multiple occasions. Get to meet John Norris, who got to do the whole hanging with MTV back in the day.
I was going to say, I think Kurt Loder did one of my absolute favorite, present company excluded, I'm not speaking about myself, one of my favorite Beastie Boys interviews, which I think aired on like an MTV News, I don't know if it was Weekend Rock or 1515 at that point, when mm-hmm. they did in the studio with the Beastie Boys for Hello Nasty.
Yeah, yep.
And they started talking about like how they were getting satellite sounds of whales.
Yes,
or
yes.
And it was just absolutely ridiculous. And I think you have to know Kurt Loder a bit to know that, like, he's so dry. And it's just, you knew that, like, the Beastie Boys were kind of taking him for a ride with that one. It was just, it's so fun to watch.
There was another one a few years later. I remember I was actually interning at MTV. And I said, oh, I heard someone's interviewing the Beastie Boys today. Can I come along? And they said, no.
Oh, my God.
Not at all. And I remember that the Beastie Boys were high-fiving Kurt Loder. And then I forget what Beastie Boy couldn't attend. Maybe it was MCA. And Mike D and Ad-Rock had the little MCA doll. And they were doing his voice like, oh, yeah, we're going on tour with Rage Against the Machine. It's going to be great. And I just remember laughing the whole time. But I was also upset that I couldn't attend the interview.
You and I come from a very similar ilk because I think it was my first, it had to have been, it was 2008, and they were doing those one-off shows, I believe, for Barack Obama.
Okay,
at that
yeah.
point. And we sent a reporter to interview them, and unnamed, and that reporter... And I was just like, I really want to go to the shoot. I wasn't able to, you know, shoots are private and I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But that reporter referred to a certain 1989 release of the Beastie Boys as Pete's Boutique.
Ah.
And that did not fare well with me.
Good old Pete's Boutique.
All. It was just absolutely... Yeah, I heard about it later, and I was just crushed because it's just like, how do you say that in front of the gods? You don't. And then I think, like, a matter of days later, I was at the Knitting Factory. This is, you know, old school.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Mike D at the bar, and I was just like, oh, my God, not only is arguably, I'm not here to stir controversy, but my favorite member of the Beastie Boys steps away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I also can't tell him where I'm employed because the place where I'm employed just interviewed him and referred to their most seminal work as Pete's Boutique.
Ah, so, he probably didn't even remember that.
And he didn't, okay. Luckily. And I don't remember anything else that I muttered other than like, I love you and like, good luck with your tour.
So you approached, how long was this interaction?
I think that was it. I think I pretty much repeated the entire conversation verbatim with the exception of saying where I worked and, you know, how big a fan I was. Yeah,
What show were you at?
It was like a CMJ show at Knitting Factory.
Okay.
I mean, years ago. I don't even remember who we went to see. I mean, I don't recall. I feel like that was a really big year for Cold War kids, so I'll just say it was them.
Okay. I want to rewind now. So we're both watching MTV. We fall in love with the Beastie Boys for their So What You Want video. Not a lot happens in the video, but for some reason, it's just magical for kids who were alive in 1992. So in 1994, let me think. It's definitely May 1994. I want to say May 31st. I might be wrong. The Beastie Boys release Ill Communication. This was the first time that I bought a Beastie Boys album on record release day. Did you get it on record release day?
No.
Ah!
I did not because I was 8. but 4 years later.
Yeah, because I remember you had a record release day story. So was it for Hello Nasty?
It was for Hello Nasty.
Oh, okay.
I do remember buying Ill Communication that summer at Long Island Sound, which, by the way, there will never be a better record shop name than Long Island Sound if you're on Long Island.
That is a double entendre.
In so many ways, yes. It was an awesome little place, and I bought it there. I wish I could say that I bought it that day. But no, it was when Hello Nasty came out, and I pre-ordered it, obviously, at Borders.
Okay.
Shout out, all these fallen heroes. And it was awful. I think my grandmother, who is amazing and sweet and very Persian, doesn't speak much English, wanted to go for a walk. And I was like, I have the perfect place for us to go on a walk. And we walked to the Borders where my Hello Nasty was pre-ordered. And I remember bringing my Discman. And I mean, I was just such a little brat. And I like just listened to Hello Nasty on the walk home. And it was
shut up, Grandma!
Like,
shut up!
But also, like, big ups to my grandmother for doing that. And she probably heard a lot of that album for the rest of the summer. Everyone who was in, my radius heard that album for the rest of that summer. But that was, oh my God. I think about it now. I'm just like, what a dumb thing for me to have done.
No!
I think that anniversary is coming up really soon. I feel like it was in mid-July.
For what?
Hello Nasty.
No, Hello Nasty was May. I want to say it was May, possibly. No, I want to say it was May.
Hold on.
I'm going to go on the record and say it was May.
I'm going on the Google right now. Is that allowed?
Yeah, well, not for 20 questions, but for this, you can go on Google. Yeah.
I'm just going to say it was July 14th.
Wait, what was... Oh, you're going to say it's July 14th. I'm going to say it's May.
Oh, no, I'm looking. It was July 14th.
Hello Nasty was July?
Who knew?
Really? Wow.
I mean, the internet might be wrong.
Okay.
It often is.
My game is slipping.
No. I think you're right. I bet you probably got it early, first of all.
No. I got it at a midnight sale. I think was like 10 of us, and we went down. It was in Pittsburgh. It was down in the Oakland section. and there was a record store on the one end being sponsored by the modern rock radio station, and there was a record station on the other end. And we're like, we're gonna go to this one because they need the people. So we had some cardboard. We brought a boom box. We were doing some break dancing, and I guess the record store was so impressed that we brought so many people that they came out and they're like, here, here's Hello Nasty. I think they gave it to us maybe at 9:30 at night before midnight.
Oh,
so we popped it on the boombox and we listened to it for a good 2.5-3 hours before midnight came. And then when they opened the doors, then we all bought a copy of Hello Nasty.
That is amazing.
It was magical, and I have pictures to prove it.
When I don't know if they had it in Pittsburgh, but when Hello Nasty was coming out, I think like a week or two before, they were so awesome, and they did this like viral campaigning, and they had like the coffee cups at like newsstands and whatever, printed in like Hello Nasty graphics.
Oh, Prof D actually has one of those.
I mean, I had one until very recently. Don't want to get into it, but just know that I had one.
Okay, can you hold on for 1 second?
Surely.
Someone's coming to fix my toilet. 1 second. Hold on.
Oh, exciting.
It's a word that is not really used that much in these days, but I think it really suits me, as well as these guys. It's macho. It's a macho that we have. And how do they used to say it in the, the kids used to say mucho macho.
Right.
How do you feel about this?
I love sports. I love athletes. I love being a man, but sometimes I love men too.
All right, I'm back. We were talking Hello Nasty, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the only podcast in America where you can be bugged by a toilet repair, but we continue.
Yes, we prevail. We proceed and we prevail. But no, that's still such a better story. I never had like a break dance outside of a record store before getting an album. And getting an album like 3 hours early in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like as good as leaking.
It was that's, cutting edge.
Man.
Although, Prof D, I don't know if you know about Prof D.
He is
the keeper of the greatest Beastie Boys memorabilia collection in all of the world.
Whoa.
He also has...
Hence the coffee cup.
Yes. He somehow tracked down the coffee cups, got a little robot, a Sasquatch doll. I remember we went to the Tibetan Freedom Concert that year at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. I believe that happened before the album was released because only Intergalactic was out at that point. And I remember Prof D... letting us listen to most of the album. So in the early days of the internet, I guess it wasn't the super early days of the internet, but even back then, Prof D was able to get his hands on most of Hello Nasty before it came out.
Wait, I know Prof D was like did he have like a really big website?
He has a website, but it's kind of on the DL.
Oh my, I haven't, oh man, hope he's not listening.
No.
Big shout out. I remember he had a website.
He does have a website, but it doesn't go, it's under the moniker of something else, and I won't reveal it just to keep the mystique.
Okay, never mind.
You may have come across his website. But anyway, he was able to get some tracks before the album came out. But let's go to the Five Boroughs. What did you do for that release?
That release involved another pre-order, Virgin Megastore, Union Square.
Ah.
Which is now an amazing Citibank.
Yeah.
Sarcasm. and I'm not going to lie to you. I did not do a midnight thing for that. I was there very early.
Okay.
And I had a friend. I was there very early because I was interning, nearby, So I obviously Discman at that point, because how else was I going to listen to it, during the day? And I had that, and then I remember buying a T-shirt and stickers because at that time, it was always like that, but yeah, they just had like so much other stuff to sell you along with the album, and I was just like, yes, I will take all of it. I need all of it. So I did that, and then I had a friend who worked at the Union Square Virgin Megastore at the time, and he was like, oh, well, I have the To the Five Bros flag if you want it, which was like the big, they don't really have this at record stores anymore, but like they would have those big displays with the album art and promoting the album. And he was like, if you want it, I was like, yes, of course I want it. I would go so far as to say that I need it. And so I still have that. It's like this gigantic, vertical flag that is about 7 feet tall and says the To the Five Boroughs on it. And
wow.
I genuinely don't know what to do with it in my apartment. Every day I kind of look around my walls and I'm like, it would look good there. It would, I'm still trying to find a home for it. But until then, it is very safe.
Okay. And you know what? Now that I think of it, that was the last big record store blowout for the Beastie Boys.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there wasn't a lot of hubbub for the mix-up, and then after that, it was pretty much all MP3.
And then I was going to say that there were no more record stores.
Record stores didn't exist anymore.
But then I was going to say, I think my best pre-order was still the Hot Sauce Committee, because you got so many things with it.
But you didn't get them in a timely manner.
No. Oh, my God.
That's me being a nerd, putting up my glasses. Everything came a month and a half late.
It was not in a timely manner. And then did you also get like a weird email about it like a couple weeks ago?
Yes. I got an email from the Beastie Boys. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, I'm going to get Hot Sauce Committee Part 1. And then it said, oh, we shipped your stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I got it like a year ago.
Yeah. No, I got that too. And I mean, this might say a lot about me, but I was like, what am I in a K-hole right now or something? Like I think I got that. Yeah.
And then we got an email the next day and it said, sorry, we didn't.
Yeah. Like our B.
Yeah.
But no, I remember To the Five Bros was a really important album at the time. I understood where they were coming from with that.
Your thoughts on To the Five Bros? Cause I think we've had some conversations.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's near the top of your list.
Well, I said it was important at the time.
Okay.
I think, even when they were promoting Hot Sauce Committee, Part 2, Ad-Rock even said, I think it was an interview magazine where Ad-Rock was just like, yeah, maybe To the Five Bros kind of sucked. And like, you know what? If they can accept it, so can I.
Oh, man.
There are some tracks on there that I do really like. I still enjoy the Brouhaha.
Oh, thank you. Not that I created the song.
inspired, nonetheless.
Right.
And then I think there's one song that I like Rhyme the Rhyme Well, and It Takes Time to Build.
You're naming all non-singles, and then all the singles I thought were great.
Oh, gosh. Well, then if there's anyone I ought to listen to the album in full with.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, my friend Troy Maurer says it's his favorite Beastie Boys album of all time, and I think he likes it just because of all the concerts and moments from that era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but for singles, to check it out, Triple Trouble, Open Letter to NYC, Right Now, Now. Those are four big, nice hip-hop singles.
Yeah, I remember To Check It Out was just like, oh, I still like that song, but at the time, there was no better song in the world for me than To Check It Out. And like the video was so good.
Ooh, so see, now we disagree because I didn't like it as a lead single. I thought Open Letter to NYC would have just made sense. Promoting an album called To the Five Boroughs, yeah. But to check it out grew on me because of the live performances with it and the finger and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you also like Triple Trouble's video a lot more.
Oh, my good. Yeah, Triple Trouble. Top four Beastie Boys video of all time. But listen.
Just all of our knowledge.
No. Here's the deal. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Raya will play 20 questions. So do not go anywhere.
Good thing you didn't bring his You should bring his bagpipe. Not bagpipes. What are those horns?
It's a car horn. You call it an alpine horn, but in my country, we call it a car horn. And it is a long horn to make a deep sound that can be heard from one mountain peak to another. And we use it when we are calling to celebrate many great things.
Are you guys going to be using that in your next album?
I don't know. If Nathaniel passes on the technology.
Yes.
Never know.
Yes.
I'm open to it, but I can't quite. It's very. When we were up at, filming Switch One, and we saw his, it's pretty. I don't even think you could fit one on an airplane. They're like this tall.
I tried to play it one time. We were doing the video. Well, we had been there one other time, but that was like in 86. But I tried to play it. You know, the big horns? It was like, but that's because he played it, I don't play it.
Yes, but he can yodel some too. Yeah. He can do a little.
He entered us in a contest, but.
A little yodeling, they can. They don't want to now in front of the camera because they're embarrassed, but they can do it, and they can do it very well. I love it, and they do.
Let's hear a yodel.
No. Absolutely.
They can.
The brew! Ha 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 ha.
We are back on the Brouhaha, joined by Beastie superfan Raya Backer. Before we get into 20 questions, and I actually gotta wrap this up, but
okay.
But no rush on you. So we're gonna do 20 questions. We'll end the podcast, and then we'll schedule another date for this. Favorite Beastie Boy?
Oh, I said it before. I'll say it again. I'm all about the businessman, Michael Diamond.
Favorite Beastie Boys album?
Oh. I want you all to know that I have my eyes closed while I'm thinking about this. I think I have to go with... Okay, I'm just going to say Check Your Head.
All
Check Your
right.
Head, but Woo. Hello Nasty is such a close second.
Okay. Why do you not like Pass the Mic?
Oh, gosh. I just think it's a bit of a slow song, and I will stay diplomatic with my answer because I know it ruffles feathers.
Yeah, it doesn't have a hook. It doesn't have a refrain.
It doesn't have, I think I appreciate rapping commercial with commercial.
Mm-hmm, which was a happy accident.
Yes, but you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate rapping into a Volkswagen hubcap in the video.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I completely agree with you in that. Like, I don't know if it's a single. I didn't know if there was no hook. It's just a bit slow. There are other songs on that album that I like a lot more.
And then I know this about Raya. This is what you told me. Your favorite Beastie Boy song of all time is Gratitude.
It is.
It's a good one.
It is my favorite Beastie Boy song in the history of Beastie Boy songs. It was my senior quote on my...
What was your quote from that song?
It was When You've Got So Much to Say. Called Gratitude.
Yeah.
I did not include the "and that's right,"
okay.
But it is worth noting as well that my last will and testament in that very same senior yearbook page, or senior yearbook rather, is that my last will and testament would be quote, to be a groupie on the Beastie Boys We're 60 and Still Kicking It tour,
nice.
Which is, you know, a point of pride and other things.
No, you know what? There was a lot of people like that in high school, but you still feel that way, and I appreciate and respect that.
I still very much do. Yeah, no, gratitude is definitely up there. I think I really like gratitude. For some reason, I'm always, they're more of the atypical Beastie Boys songs, but I always like the ad rock, like slower songs as well. Like I always liked And Me and Livewire and
oh yeah,
those, and even God, it's such a downer, but Instant Death I've always
liked
as well. But
so,
we're
gonna start 20 questions now.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna tease
the next time Raya's on. We will talk about her meeting the Beastie Boys.
Oh gosh.
We will talk maybe, if she lets us, about a possible date that she went on with a Beastie collaborator. We'll discuss that.
Yeah.
We will discuss best Beastie live performances. I wanted to pick your brain on that,
gosh.
But we need some time to do that. And then just real quick before we start, who do you think is the sexiest Beastie Boy?
Oh my God.
I always thought it was Ad Rock.
I'm just going to say it again. Asana Daily, so I'm very flexible. I'm a Scorpio, so you know I'm very sexual. I think I just answered the question.
You did. All right, start up the music. Here's the rules in case you don't know, Raya. You need to answer 20 Beastie Boys questions correctly. If you do, I will give you a prize. I haven't determined that yet, although I will give you my extra copy of Blag Magazine. If you're stumped along the way, you will have 3 chances for multiple choice. Okay? Some of the questions, the way they're structured, you cannot get multiple choice on them. Start the music. Question number 1. What Beastie Boys album sees MCA, Mike D, and Ad Rock squeezed inside a sardine can?
Oh, Hello Nasty.
You are correct. Question number 2. To check it out, Triple Trouble and Right Right Now Now are singles from what Beastie Boys album?
To the Five Boroughs.
You are correct. Question number 3. The music video Make Some Noise was inspired by what previous Beastie Boys music video?
Fight for Your Right to Party.
Correct. And I should also tell you that the first 5 questions, usually pretty simple, and then it gets tougher from there.
I know. I can tell you I'm very nervous right now.
Hey, everyone is. Someone turned the tables on me once, and I was very nervous answering these questions. Question number 4. And only one person has answered the 20th question. That is a... that's Todd Perry, and we sent him a Beastie Boys diorama. Question number 4, name at least 2 Beastie Boys DJs.
Hurricane and Mixmaster.
Yeah, you could have gone Rick Rubin, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre, I was going to say.
Yeah. Or you could have named, I forget, I don't know if it was Crush Groove, what was the other, Tougher Than Leather? Hurricane played a prominent role in the movie, so they had someone else play the Beastie Boys DJ. I would have accepted that guy's name, but I don't even know what his name is.
Oh God, yeah, I definitely went for the elementary answer.
No. We're in the top 5 right now, so that's what you
yes.
do. And here is question number 5. After this, it will get a bit tougher. Out of 3 core Beastie Boys, who was not an original member?
It was Ad Rock because he was in the Young Aborigines.
You are correct. He was in the Young and the Useless.
But the Young and the Useless.
Yeah. But that was, you didn't. You
Real
were just,
Men Don't Floss.
Real
Men Don't Floss.
Question number 6. This is called What Song Am I? The Beastie Boys are smurfing, not rehearsing. Apparently, they're lighting their farts on fire, and Shasta and Yoo-Hoo are the drinks of choice. What song am I?
Shasta. Wait, hold on.
They're smurfing. They're not rehearsing. Apparently, they're lighting their farts on fire, and Shasta and Yoo-Hoo are the drinks of choice.
Is it Professor Booty?
I'm the one asking the questions. You're the one answering them.
Is it Professor Booty?
You're asking another question. You have to answer the question.
It
is Professor Booty. You are correct. Question.
Can I tell you? I hate to be a producer right now, but you should do this portion in Skype or video, because if you could see, like, I'm shaking right now. And I'm pretty sure, like, other people. Okay, I'm not alone in this.
You're still alive, Raya. You're still alive. At number 7, in the mid-90s, what Beastie Boys instrumental would Hurricane lend rhymes to during live performances?
Sabrosa?
No, you didn't say Final.
No, and I can hear it. And it's not, I know it's not Futterman's Rule.
And I'll give you a little hint, because, I'd like
to
see.
Can I have my multiple choice for this one? I don't want it yet.
And I will say this, he did sing the title of the song. I'm pretty sure he did that. Because there was the title, there's a title to this song.
And I hear it, because he goes like, ba-na-na-na, ba-na-na.
And you know what, technically, if you count this lyric, it's not an instrumental. So maybe the question is phrased wrong. I should say, in the mid-90s, what Beastie Boys partial instrumental would Hurricane lend rhymes to during the live performances? But for all intents and purposes, it is an instrumental.
This is really gonna bother me.
Quick fire rhymes. Instrumental was maybe a little bit more than mid-tempo.
I'm gonna take my multiple choices.
All right, A, Groove Holmes. B, Pow. C,
yeah, it's Pow.
It is Pow.
It's Pow. Rick. All right, I knew it. And I can hear it. And then he would go Pow, and everyone would freak out.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He would sing the lyric in the song. At number 8. And speaking of Prof D, every year we have a karaoke party for my wife, and he performed Pow at the karaoke party, and he did not get good scores from the judges because there was only one word in that song. A big build-up, and he would just sing Pow, and then everyone was like, that wasn't that impressive, Prof. At number 8, these are tough ones. Questions about shout-outs on Pete's Boutique. Who is not shouted out on Johnny Royale? A, Ed Koch. B, Donald Trump. C, Louis Vuitton. D, James Brown.
James Brown.
You are correct. You're on fire. Question number 9.
And I heard all of the lyrics as you were going. It was kind of beautiful.
Nice. Because Paul's Boutique is dense with shout-outs.
It's rife with them, yeah.
All right. At number 9, in the Beastie catalog, who got a theme? Who was on the corner and who was on the bus?
Ricky's theme, Bobo on the corner, Mark on the bus.
Oh my goodness, she's on fire, you are correct. They all got songs. Eugene had a lament.
Eugene did have, and a great video.
I never saw Eugene's lament.
I'm thinking of the one where they play basketball.
Oh, Ricky's theme.
Ricky's theme.
All right, hey, you're
after
in
that
this
victory, edit that.
No. You're in the zone right now. Let's focus. Question number 10. The Beastie Boys have been featured on 3 of their studio album covers. True or false? All of them have been given time in the middle position.
So we're talking Check Your Head, Hello Nasty.
Correct. That would have been a good question right there. What 3 Beastie Boys albums are they featured on the artwork?
I mean,
it's like a question within a question.
It really is. And they're all...
And you know what? Check Your Head, Hello Nasty, and The Mix-Up.
And then The Mix-Up.
I think they're coming out of like that horn thing.
Oh my gosh. Right. Okay. I feel like they don't all get middle position, though. I mean, I don't even think I'm guessing when I say this, but I feel like I always... Yeah, I don't think so. That's honestly something I've never really thought about.
Okay, so check your head. Who's in the middle?
Check Your Head is MCA is... Okay, so MCA is on the left, if I remember correctly.
It's a tough one.
Or no, MCA is on the right.
Yes, MCA is on the right.
MCA is on the right, and then Ad Rock is on the left.
Yes.
And then Mike Set leaves only one.
Mike D is in the middle with the grocery bag. All right, so Hello Nasty. Three dudes squashed inside the sardine can.
Hello Nasty, I always remember because I remember MCA is laughing in the middle.
Okay. So then we go
to the mix-up. This is deductive reasoning. And then, you know, I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to assume that Ad Rock is in the middle for the mix-up.
I helped you out with that one. But I you know what I did? I walked you through it. That's what I did.
You were like a very good SAT tutor.
Raya, you are correct. They all get the middle position.
That's, you know, I should have just said yes because that's just such an out there question.
it would have been mean if they weren't. That would have been very mean. And I can get mean later in the 20 questions.
I know, because that was not intermediate level. Wow.
All right, so you get a little... If you get this question right, I'm going to ask you a bonus question, and the bonus will help you out later on. So question number 11 is, how many times did the Beastie Boys perform live on the MTV Video Music Awards?
Okay. The MTV Video Music Awards, I think... See, this is where things get tough for me, because then I get the movie awards confused. And
I know.
Okay, so I want to say Sabotage, obviously.
Well, how many times did they perform? Like, how many years did they perform on the MTV Video Music Awards? Are you thinking it through?
I'm thinking it through because I feel like they did should check it out at the movie awards. I want to just say twice.
Final.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Oh, my God.
1994,
yeah,
1998, to check it out, was at the Movie Awards. But here's the bonus question, and this will help you out later on. When the little turntable was spinning in 1994 after Green Day performed, what Beastie Boys instrumental was playing?
Oh, goodness.
And this is, like I said, this is just a bonus question. So if you don't know it, we'll just go on to question number 12.
I'm going to throw it out and say Futterman's Rule.
No, it was Sure Shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you don't get the little bonus later on, but you might not need it.
Hopefully not. But wow, that was okay.
Yeah, it will only help you out. It will only help you out if you get to question 20.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Oh, ooh, okay. Question number 12. During the second Tibetan Freedom Concert held at Randall's Island in New York City, the Beastie Boys performed in what type of wardrobe?
Oh, actually, this I know. Didn't they wear like the jumpsuits and then Mike D had the braids?
Once again, I'm asking the questions. I need you to answer the questions.
Okay. Oh, so it's not Jeopardy style.
Right.
I believe they all wore jumpsuits.
Can I get a color on that, please?
Navy.
This is a tough one. You did. You got the jumpsuits right. Just give me another guess on the jumpsuits.
Okay, they were like, you know what? Okay, they were. Was it like a reddish?
We're gonna take that. Yes, you are correct. So
I
guess I could have accepted jumpsuits. They were like orangish. I guess depending on the picture you're looking at, it could have looked reddish. So orange jumpsuits. You are correct.
You know what? I used to work in retail. I'm just going to call it rust.
Okay.
How's that?
We'll take it. Because leafing through one of the Grand Royal magazines, and some of the pictures, they did look rusty. But while watching it on TV, I'm pretty sure they were orange. But anyway, Raya, you march on to question number 13.
Wow. Okay.
All of these Beastie Boys songs share the same signature three-word phrase. The Move, Pass the Mic, Sabotage, Flute Loop, Unite, Sure Shot. Do you want your multiple choice? You've already used one.
No, I've already used one.
But you have two more.
No, I can't do it yet. I can't. And that towel was such a giveaway. Is it Oh My God? No, it's not. It's not So Listen Up. No, it's not. All right, you know what? Multiple choice.
Oh, she's going multiple choice.
I can't not.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. A, and this is where it gets a little tricky. It gets a little mean.
Oh, my God.
The computer senses your inner thoughts and then messes with your inner thoughts. A, rum shake in action.
No.
B.
No, it's not that. It's
B,
not that.
Oh my gosh. C. On and on. Or D. Brand new doo doo.
It's C.
On and on?
It's C.
On and on.
C.
On and on. On and on. Yes, on and on. You'll hear it all day now.
God, I'm so sorry. I took so long.
Hey, but that's okay. You're still alive. We go on to question number 14. Your brain is going to sizzle with this one. Add the number of thieves in Rhyming and Stealing with the number of with the number of bazookas in Jimmy James with the number of Ad-Rock's Richter scale recording on Do It. And then give me a number.
Okay, so it was Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
Okay.
And then Jimmy James. Also, I should have you know that I'm like very, I've been better at math. But no. And then it was 8 bazookas, so that's 48.
Okay.
And then what was Do It?
The number of Ad-Rock's Richter scale recording on Do It.
I feel like it was like I'm a something something on the Richter.
Something on the Richter scale. I got rhymes galore, and then I never fail. Like gravy to potatoes, Luke to Darth Vader. I'm a souped up sucker, and I'll see you all later.
It was like
a let's do it.
I'm a 6.7 on the. I am. Okay, wait. Hold on. 40 and 8 is 48. Is it 54.7?
Once again.
I literally don't know if that's.
Do not ask me the questions. Answer me the questions.
Right now.
54.7, final answer.
Oh my God. Yes, 54.7.
You are correct. I'm a 6.7 on the Richter scale.
Oh my God.
54.7.
I don't know if it's because I have the iPhone next to my ear or there's a part of my brain that's hurting now. Arduous.
All right. But we're getting near the end. We're getting near the end, Raya. Okay. Question number 15. What song am I? A Beastie Boy is mistaken for David Koresh. The Beastie Boys contradict a lyric on The Sounds of Science by showing up at a party with Fila fresh gear. And MCA explains that part of the key to feeling strong was to stop smoking Chiba. What song am I?
I was just gonna say, first of all, it's The Scoop. But I remember that, but then it was like just an album before that MCA was like, I smoke Chiba, it helps me with my thinking.
It's a very contradictory song because you remember in The Sounds of Science, they said, rock my Adidas, never rock Fila.
Never. I do not sniff the coke. I only smoke the Centimila, which is, I guess, another weed reference, I guess. So, yeah. But no, it's The Scoop.
The Scoop is correct. That's a tough one because sometimes, I mix up The Scoop. There's The Scoop, The Update, Brasattva Vow. So sometimes those get a little confusing, but you are correct. You move on to question number 16. You might go all the way today. You might go all the way today, Raya. I think three people have gotten to question number 20. One person has answered it.
I'm not going to, but yeah, all right.
Well, and a lot of people say, I'm going to do it. And you say, I'm not going to. So maybe you're using reverse psychology on yourself.
I don't even know what I'm using anymore. This is so weird. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to tell my parents about this.
All right. Question number 16. This is tough. And we are getting in tough territory. On the actual CD and vinyl copy of To the Five Boroughs, which lists each track numerically, how does the title of Three the Hard Way appear?
Oh. The sad part is I could tell you a bit of the liner notes into The Five Boroughs.
I know.
They reference DVD's The Office so much.
I know. There's, yeah, Office references within the in the little editor notes.
I mean, I don't want to give up, though. But I really, I mean, this is just, this is like, if you're at PhD level right now. Like, I've got years of school, left. Okay, so, I mean, is it just Roman numerals?
I could easily help you out, but...
I will take the multiple choice because 17 is my favorite number, and I'd like to see it out there.
Well, it turns out you lucked out on this one because there's only an A, B, or a C.
Thank goodness.
Okay. Does it appear three the hard way? Three being the number three, like number three the hard way. B the hard way, or T H R E E the hard way.
Okay.
And since you squandered your last multiple choice, the Beastie Boys, very conventionally, always list their songs on their albums. One period space to check it out.
Yeah.
Two period space.
It was A.
Now, before you say fun, just think it out. So no, I will tell you this. All of the tracks are listed. One, song title. Two, song title. Three, song title. Four, song title.
Can you just do the multiple choices one more time? Because
yeah.
I think I know
so
the answer.
Three the hard way with... So three the number, like three the number the hard way. B is the hard way. C is T-H-R-E-E the hard way.
All right. I honestly think it's A.
Now, if it was A... So what you're saying is, because I know this question may be confusing. If it was A, it would be like whatever track number it would be, like 4, period, space, 3, the hard way.
So yeah, I remember 3, the hard way was the third track on the album.
Oh, okay.
So that's all
Oh, now you're thinking.
But now I feel like it's 3, period, 3, the hard way.
So you think it's 3, period, 3, the hard way.
Yeah.
Or is it 3, period, the hard way? Or is it 3, period, T-H-R-E-E, the hard way?
No, at this point, I think it's A. Yeah. I'm just like, this is my, yeah, I think it's A.
Final. Is it your final answer?
Final, oh my God, it's
all right,
not A.
Do you have the hard copy of To the Five Boroughs handy?
No, I don't.
How quickly could you get it?
I'd have to take the subway to my childhood bedroom.
Okay. Raya, you are correct! Yes! So here's the deal. There was actually some confusion with this question because I listened to the album twice at Oscilloscope Laboratories, and I swear that when I was going down the track list, it was 1 period, to check it out, 2 period, right now, 3 period, the hard way. And I think when they released the track listing, it was always 3 period, the hard way. But on the actual hard copy of the album, it appears 3 period, 3, the number, the hard way.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That was pure guesswork with a bit of luck on my side.
True or false?
Oh,
for
gosh.
Question number 17, your lucky number.
Yes.
The word salad appears on the cover of Ill Communication. The word salads.
I mean, I feel like it makes sense for it to, because of that. Yeah, I'm sure it does, because he's going through that drive-thru. Yeah.
You are correct.
Oh my God. Also, can I just say, big shout out to Bruce Davidson.
Yes. Very nice photo.
Yes.
And, I guess MCA wanted the inside illustration to be the outside illustration, and the Beastie Boys put it to a vote, and they're like, nah.
Really?
Yeah, just put it on. Because I think the whole tree thing and the skyline and the forest, MCA wanted that to be the cover, and then they ended up using the Bruce Davidson photo.
Oh, see, I always assumed that it would be, because I know that MCA's parents are art collectors.
Mm.
So I always thought that he was, you know, a fan of that, but no, I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't think that was his first choice. We go on to question number 18. Another true or false. Sometimes these can be tough. True or false? MCA has facial hair in every music video from the Paul's Boutique era.
Okay. And can you define facial hair? Like, it is a beard, or like, is it his own facial hair?
His own facial hair.
We
won't necessarily. He definitely had. We'll say hair on the lip and chin, and then he could also have a beard. But he definitely will say true or false. He has facial hair, meaning chin hair or lip hair, in every music video from the Paul's Boutique era.
But it's like glued on, or
No. It's his own. It's his own.
Okay. So.
Because this was during the Billy Goat Beard era.
My man MCA does have a beard like a Billy Goat. Okay. So I have to get into. Now I'm taking it a bit seriously. Okay, now I have to think about the singles. So you had Shake Your Rum.
Mm-hmm.
No, because in looking down the barrel of a gun, I feel like he's clean shaven.
So you will.
I'm going to say false.
Final answer.
Final answer.
Raya?
Now am I wrong?
This one was confirmed. He has hair in every music video.
No! From
the Pete's Boutique era. And he's not in Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun a long time, but he is in there. Back of the car, you see him with the beard and mustache, and in the recording booth, you see him with the beard and mustache.
Long enough. He's in there long and
Where you can see the facial hair. So you go out on question number 18.
Okay.
No shame in your game. So when you come back to the brouhaha, we will talk about all the stuff we mentioned. Your date with the Beastie collaborator, getting to meet the Beastie Boys, and you'll have to give 20 questions another shot.
I will.
Because you're damn close. You're close, Raya. Oh, my goodness. Yes. So, enjoy your day off. Enjoy your week off.
Thank you. I will spend it
recalibrate your brain. Yeah, listen to some Pete's Boutique today. And then
people are going to tune in now and be like, they know they're calling it the wrong title.
Hey, that's why you have to listen to the whole podcast.
Yeah.
Not just 20 questions.
Yeah, no cliff notes for this. Yeah.
So for Raya Backer, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see Jens later.
Bye. That's it. That's all there is. Come on.
Yo, we gonna end it on a 1, 2, 3 note. Are you ready? 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Guarantee we bring the brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha.
It's a brouhaha. It's a brouhaha.